Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will be speaking about a wonderful opportunity to learn about positive things happening in the world of planet Earth, which is our world, the only world we know. And today in the studio, I have Larkin Stentz. Larkin Stentz is going to be instructing, leading a class called Listening to the New Earth at Clatsop Community College. It's just this month. It's Saturday mornings, starting this Saturday, April 7th, throughout the month of April. And it is really exciting. And you'll hear about what will be discussed in that class from Larkin in just a few minutes. A little bit about Larkin Stentz. Larkin has spent 12 years teaching sustainable living practices at Green Angel Gardens, which is his company in Long Beach, Washington. He has worked with over 125 international students. He's a certified teacher of biointensive food production. He has designed and taught a course, Soil to Harvest, for 2 years to fourth grade classes in two elementary schools on the Long Beach Peninsula. And he's still offering that to other schools as well. He's taught sustainable practices for small farms at Clatsop Community College in the past. He has presented musically. He says he's a flutist, not a flautist, a flutist. and he has presented musically at two international conferences on the economics of happiness. Welcome, Larkin Stentz.
Welcome. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Very happy to have you in the studio, Larkin. And before we talk about this marvelous class, Listening to the New Earth, which is happening this month at Clatsop Community College, please tell the listening audience about yourself and your business.
Wow. I seem to be so involved in so many things at the moment, but Green Angel Gardens has been in existence now for 12 years, and I started it because I felt that that's what the earth needed. I had a landscaping company for 15 years prior to that that went bankrupt, and then I faced foreclosure on the farm, and I would wake up every morning looking out going, gosh, do I even plant? And this voice came into my head, of course you do. Of course you plant, because that's part of being a part of the earth. The earth needs this. So I would plant, and I made it through foreclosure. And so Green Angel Gardens is a bastion of new ideas and new ways of looking at the planet and new ways of cooperating, dancing with the lovely energies that are the planet's energies. So I did that for 12 years. Now my family lives with me. My daughter and three grandkids, all teenagers, live on the farm. And so they're slowly learning what it means to live with Grandpa. And I'm doing what I can to instill in them the things I've been teaching for 12 years with more or less success at different levels.
And you're still growing. You have a greenhouse. And what are you growing right now?
Well, we have three greenhouses there. There's Bertha, Bucky, and Renee.
You named your greenhouses.
Yes. Didn't necessarily. But yeah, Bertha is the biggest one. It's a 30 by 60. And we have probably, you know, close to 2,000 carrots in the ground growing, and lettuce and sugar snap peas for the local market and stuff. And in Bucky, we don't have a whole lot growing except a Meyer's lemon. Bucky is the geodesic dome greenhouse. And then Renee is a 20 by 48 foot greenhouse that we're not growing anything in right now. There's just not enough man hours, etc., to do all of that. But it's also the farm is a sustainable living center that I give tours. People can come and take a tour of the farm and see the ideas that we've implanted, that we've made happen there, composting toilet systems, solar hot water systems, wind turbine, that help make it more sustainable, and then they can maybe be inspired to do something more sustainable on their own.
How long have you, when did you begin trying to live in this sustainable way? Because a lot of people, I think, are very interested in that. Sustainable is a word that's being tossed around in every area, whether it's sustainable tourism, sustainable living.
I've been doing it for, gosh, at least the last 40 years in my own way. Even as a flute player, when I was doing concerts in Europe and I would get interviewed like you, I wouldn't want to talk about music. I want to talk about, you know, where's your water come from? Where does your poop go? You know, I wanted them to be, you know, interested in their own planet, their own ecosystems. So it's been something that's just instilled in me.
And you were part, why don't you explain, you were part of, now you don't have a place for people to live, but on the farm since your family's with you, but you were part of the woofer program. And so tell us what a woofer is, and that's how you've met a lot of these international students.
Yeah, WOOF is WWOF, Willing Workers on Organic Farms. It's an international organization that young people and farmers can join. And then as a farmer, I would put a profile up, and then people who wanted to volunteer could look at my profile. They would contact me, and we'd make an arrangement for them to come and learn.
So they would primarily come for the summer months or
I had them
fall.
All year. I had them all year long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
the benefit of having greenhouses. We actually grow things year-round.
And so when you had these young people who were from all over the world who came and worked with you for a period of time, what did you see? What did you notice over the years from them? Because I have heard that more young people are interested in small farming.
They were so inspirational. Their desire not only to learn, but their attitude about the earth, about Gaia, about their responsibility as humans on planet Earth. They were really looking for tools that they could then take back to their own homes or wherever and incorporate those tools in their own lives. Recently, I just had a young woman there who actually kicked it up another layer, another step. She was from Huntington Beach, California, and she's actually living a sustainable lifestyle in many ways. She has her own backpack that she carries all of her 1-quart jars around with her, that when she shops, she gets everything. She doesn't buy anything that has plastic wrap on it or foil wrapping or anything. She prepares all of her own food. So more and more young people are finding ways to live, to walk the talk.
I have met some marvelous young people recently as well. And you said that there are a lot more vegans, a lot more people who are embracing that lifestyle.
The vegan, yeah, it's because it makes you look at where food comes from. So many of them are looking at that aspect. And so, yeah.
Larkin, tell us about your class, Listening to the New Earth, which is starting this Saturday. People have to register, though, and I'm going to give you the phone number so that you can register for this class. It's a community education class. It is every Saturday morning in April from 10 to 2 at Clatsop Community College. And I think today and tomorrow, you have to register by tomorrow to be part of this class. It sounds wonderful, but let's have you describe it, please.
Well, I've been a part of these three organizations that we're going to profile for many years now. And they have been so inspiring to me in terms of looking at ways in which we can participate on planet Earth in positive ways to really re-envision, to make a new Earth. And in many ways, the Earth is calling upon us to do these things as well. It's like when I would look out my window when I was going and looking at foreclosure and saying, do I plant? It's like this voice in my head came back, of course you plant. That's what you do. And so these three organizations, Bioneers, you just heard their organization, their radio program, have been very inspirational and inspiring young people and people all over the world with stories about how other people are doing things. And then there's the Economics of Happiness, which is a spinoff from Eleanor Norberg Hodges' work in Ladakh, which is Little Tibet up near Nepal, and how seeing that they had a very sustainable lifestyle there and how it moved on. And they now are doing international conferences around the world on showing people the ways in which we can create new economy and economies of scale. She was instrumental in starting one of the first farmers markets in England. That's how instrumental she was for that. And then the third group is called Gaianeers or Gaianeering. And that's a brand new term that just came into existence, you know, last year at a conference in Seattle. And it has to do with Gaia meaning the word for earth. And a Gaianeer would be an individual who sees that they are a part of this earth and wants to live their lives in a way that is in harmony and balance with the earth. And that there are, let's say, subtle energies on the planet that are looking to us to work with them. This is a little woo-woo, but it's very true. Whenever I started playing music years and years and years ago, almost sounds like centuries ago, I would walk along the streets of Santa Barbara playing my flute. That's how I practiced. And I'd come up to a rose bush, and I would play my feelings about my seeing the rose bush and how grateful I was for it. And when I'd finish playing, I'd go, thank you. And a wind inevitably would come along, and the rose bush would wave back at me. And I got this feeling in my heart of, no, thank you. And that just kept happening more and more. And now the Gaianeering movement has acknowledged the existence of these subtle energies that are just right outside of our physical realm, that are constantly working with us and wanting to work with us. And as we acknowledge them, then they become more empowered to help us help the planet. We're all here basically to create heaven on earth, and that's what Gaianeering can do. And then the fourth class is going to be looking at the tools that these three organizations are providing and how can those tools be integrated into our personal lives.
The Bioneers I'm so familiar with, and our listeners hopefully have listened to it before this program on Wednesday mornings. And they have, do they have one or two conferences? I know they have one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast, maybe?
I don't know about the East Coast. Okay. I think the West Coast is the only one.
Is it?
Okay. And then they have places where you can go and be in an auditorium with a big screen and be a part of it.
Right. I went to a Bioneers conference. Oh, my gosh. But it must be 20 years ago. I mean, they've been around for quite a long time, I think.
12 years.
Bioneers?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, math. Okay, maybe I went to a Bioneers conference about 12 years ago. Okay, I was one of the first ones. Anyway, okay, so Bioneers, sharing positive stories, lots of young people, but lots of elders also.
Yes, the young people are seeing that, you know, the elders have things to offer. You know, it's one thing to have a store of knowledge and inspiration as an elder, as we are, and if young people aren't interested in hearing, then there's no connection there. So yeah, there are listening a lot more, and movements like the Native American movement was so empowering in terms of the oil pipeline movement that really brought to fore the Native American knowledge of the earth and what we have to do to make it more livable here.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today in the studio, I have Larkin Stentz. Larkin is the owner of Green Angel Gardens in Long Beach, California.
Well,
no, how about Long Beach,
Washington,
right across the river from Astoria here. And he is facilitating and teaching a class called Listening to the New Earth. It is Saturday mornings at Clatsop Community College from 10 until noon. And the class description is just wonderful. It says, in the past 10 years, grassroots organizations have stepped up to shine light on ways to live in harmony and balance on Mother Earth. And the three organizations that you just mentioned that you're featuring are the Bioneers, Gaianeering, and then the Economics of Happiness. And so you're looking at ways to help people realize how they can learn about the good news that's going on, people who are doing positive things, and how they can then live more sustainably themselves and in mm-hmm. harmony with the natural rhythm and cycles of the earth.
The phone number.
I would like to give the phone number because you need to register today. Tomorrow is the very latest day you can register for this class. The number is 503-338-2411. That's 338-2411 to register for this community education class called Listening to the New Earth with Larkin Stentz. So, Larkin, some folks may not be familiar with the concept of Gaia. So would you explain that a little bit?
James Lovelock, I think, was the first one to popularize it, probably 40 years ago. And the concept was that if you look at all of the systems that are happening on the planet, they point towards a living entity. I mean, we can do so
much. An intelligent living organism.
Yes. You can, you know, we can look at amoebas, we can look at single cell organisms and all this and see that they're don't necessarily have a, for our purpose of saying a consciousness, but they do have a life that incorporates all of their own surroundings and everything. I mean, there's an entity there. And if you extrapolate that out, it's quite obvious then that the earth is an amalgam. It's made up of all of these living organisms, just like we are. And so it was not too far of a leap to say that Gaia, which is an ancient Greek term, I think, for the earth, is a living organism. And that the more we actually look at the planet that way, the less we throw away, the less we pollute, the more we plant, the more we give love to one another, the more we embrace the loving kindness that we are as humans, because that is what the planet needs, that loving kindness.
Yes, it's a matrix. It's a matrix of energy. And this reminds me of Findhorn. Do you want to mention Findhorn and tell people what that was?
Well, it's interesting to mention Findhorn because the group that backs Gaianeers is the Lorien organization, and they are basically a sister organization to Findhorn. A lot of the people who make up Lorien have worked and were very instrumental in the growth of Findhorn. Findhorn was a community, is a community in Scotland, northern Scotland, that originated back in the 60s in working in harmony and in balance with the earth. They were growing 65-pound cabbages at the same latitude as Anchorage, Alaska, in basically sandy soil. And they were just showing how when you work in unison and in cooperation with the earth, how much bounty can come before you.
With respect and the fact that everything is connected and alive and intelligent, and it's all consciousness. You call the class Listening to the New Earth, and that, of course, reminds me of Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, which you and I talked about before we came on the program, which is, again, we're all connected, and what we do helps or hurts, you know, what our environment. And
yeah, one of the ways I was going to call the class Re-envisioning a New Earth, but that sort of felt not, you couldn't quite grab that, you know. But that's what we're doing. We have to create new visions for how we can be more in harmony and balance on this live planet we call Earth.
The challenge, of course, I think sometimes we look back at the Judeo-Christian view, though, of man being the dominant, you know, and yet we're really all part of the matrix. So it's not like man is more. I mean, there are ways, different philosophical ways of looking at that. How have you worked with that in your life? Because I know you've traveled extensively and you've met a lot of people from all different walks of life. So when you bring your holistic, harmonious view of the earth to a conversation and someone's like, no, we're supposed to dominate. Well, we haven't done a very good job, have we?
Well, where I come from, I suppose my first inspiration was Buckminster Fuller. And he sort of coined the term spaceship Earth. And so when woofers and interns would come to work on the farm, I would say, okay, you're becoming a crew member of spaceship Earth. So that's a little bit easier to understand than being a Gaianeer, you know, on this living planet. But if you're a crew member of Spaceship Earth, there is only one Earth, and we are crew on that Earth. How can we be more conscious and conscientious? I remember a couple from Australia that worked with me for a month, and they were washing dishes. And the way they washed dishes was in a dishpan, you know, and they washed all the dishes for all of us in this one little pan. They had the rinse water, and I remember them holding it, looking at me, going, where do we put this, the rinse water? I mean, we were getting 100 inches of rain a year, and it's like I almost kind of laughed, but it just struck me. These people come from Adelaide, Australia, where water is a premium. And so it reinstilled in me that sense that, you know, yes, no matter that we get a lot of water here, we have to look at the sacredness of the water that we do have and appreciate it and not just use it because we have so much of it, we can waste it. So for me, Buckminster Fuller's idea of being a crew member of Spaceship Earth was the beginning level for me of getting in and looking at all of that. So like at Green Angel Gardens, we designed a pea pod, P-E-E-P-O-D. It's basically a wonderful little solid box with a 5-gallon bucket underneath it and a toilet seat on top where you collect your urine. And a woman from this program here from KMUN started it 25 years ago, whatever, showing people. She had a gardening show. That urine is actually a wonderful fertilizer. And wow, what about this? In 2016, the United Nations made a proclamation that we need to start saving our urine and using it as a fertilizer because we have run out. We are running out of potassium, sources of potassium. Mm. So we created a pea pod and we sell them there for people to collect their own urine and use it as a fertilizer in your garden. So that's just one way in which we can be crew members of Spaceship Earth and then slowly move into the idea of Gaianeering.
You must be encouraged by this, the farm to fork movement, all people wanting to know where their food is coming from, and more people embracing this more holistic view of the Earth and their role.
Oh, totally. Yes, for sure. They're very inspiring. And the three organizations that we're going to highlight in this course are just ones that I've been intimately involved with and I know about. I know that there are many others. It's like Paul Hawken wrote a book called Blessed Unrest, where he catalogs over thousands of organizations around the planet that are doing positive change, positive work, all because that the people were unrest. They were tired of trying to look at governments to solve their problems. They went out and did them themselves. And so he now has this webpage you can go to that literally shows the matrix, the interconnectedness of all these organizations that are doing positive things on the planet.
We need that in today's world. There's so much negativity. There's so much bad news that it's really important that we focus on and embrace and celebrate people who are doing the good things.
Exactly.
In the world.
And to see ourselves just waking up in the morning and smiling and being grateful for the tree outside your window. That's doing a positive thing.
Yes, that's so true. Because our thoughts make a difference. Thoughts are energy forms.
Re-envisioning. Yeah.
Yeah, re-envisioning a new earth. Exactly. And I was at a conference yesterday, and I learned a couple of things about tourism and two in interesting trends. One is escape tourism, where people want to unplug from their phones, their technology, their computers, and they want to listen to a bird singing in the tree and sit by the stream and read a book, and they want to go back to that simpler time, which people who live, in rural communities are very fortunate to still have. And then the idea of participatory tourism, tourism with where it's a social activism role, where they're going to Washington, D.C. to march, or they're going to volunteer on a farm, so voluntourism and participatory tourism. So I think more and more people are looking at, in spite of the fact that, yes, we have all of this, my vision of success is, a $1 million house and a Porsche or whatever. I think a lot of young people are saying, wait, and as we get older, we also know those aren't the things that are really important in life. How are we connected with our families, our friends, our earth, our home?
Well, when you talk about those kinds of visions, it makes me remember that, they're only about 2% of the entire global population has those kinds of ideas about wanting to have a big home or fast car and all of that.
Oh, good. Oh, and only 2%? Yay.
Only 2% want that. Of course, those are the 2% that control 98% of the money.
Oh, no.
Right.
Not
but those, yet. That 98% also are controlling the media, which is trying to feed us with these images of glamour and
right.
of success.
Right.
When glamour and success are not what's important.
Exactly. I think even young people, children, are seeing how fabulous it is to grow a carrot. Benefits of growing your food.
Well, this course that I wrote that I would like to, put myself out there to any of the elementary schools in the area that want this, I'd be glad to teach it. It's 8 hours. It's called Soil to Harvest, and it's geared towards fourth graders. And they were just so excited. I mean, you'd put a little bit of compost down on their table and get them with a magnifying glass to look at it. And they were just ooh and ah and oh my God, oh, this is great. And they would handle their little plant like it was alive.
Precious, a precious thing.
They saw the life force that was in that one plant. And we need to continue to see that preciousness.
So if you would like to have Larkin Stents teach a class in the classroom to our children, then you can reach him through Green Angel Gardens. And again, the class that he's teaching, Listening to the New Earth, begins this Saturday. It's from 10 to 12. It's every Saturday morning throughout the month of April at Clatsop Community College.
Yeah.
Four classes. And you need to register. Today is the most important day to try to register. It's 503-338-2411. I encourage everyone to register, and if you can, because even if you can't make all the classes, it's a nominal fee, and you are helping participate in something positive and good. You're going to learn some things that will help you in your own life as well. Larkin, any last things that you would like the listening audience to know?
How valuable and how important each one of you are. That, as I said, if you get up in the morning and you can just smile, believe it or not, just smiling sets off endorphins in your brain and in your body. And so just smile.
Oh, Larkin, that's wonderful, because, and I love this saying, sometimes the joy is the cause of the smile. Sometimes the smile is the cause of the joy.
Yes.
So you're right. When you smile, it makes everything happier. It makes, you know, and does increase endorphins. Thank you so much, Larkin Stents. I encourage folks to check out his class. Again, starts this Saturday. Also, a quick reminder that there are still some Jane Barnes tickets left for Saturday night. You can Google Jane Barnes 2018 and get your tickets online. So Saturday, you can go to Larkin's class in the morning, and then in the evening, you can go support the Astoria Historic Downtown Association at Jane Barnes in the evening. So a fabulous weekend for all of you. Thank you so much, Larkin, for being
thank
here today
you.
And listening to The New Earth. Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. Breath keeps us alive, and a deep breath calms and nourishes body, mind, and spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things that are, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, and for doing the very best you can, people are, and for being here now, in this moment, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.